Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God, eternally existing in perfect glory and joy, we look to you now through the truth of your word. Help us, Lord, because you know that we are people that are weak and face many difficult trials and temptations, but through all of them, you are near your people, and you prove yourself to be strong and faithful. And so we look to you, Lord, with eyes of expectation to receive help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to be just one verse tonight that we're going to focus on, 2:16. The title of our message is The Help We Need. And anyone here ever faced temptation before? Trial? Yeah, I think we're in good company together in that way. I want to, there's a line in one of the songs that we just sang, I Will Glory My Redeemer. I want to read and see if there's any way, are there any times in any ways you relate to this? Though foes are mighty and rush upon me. Do you ever feel that? You ever struggle with that? Does that ever at any time describe what you're going through and you feel like I'm just being assailed by a foe, an enemy? I can't see him, but I know I'm doing battle against him. What I would encourage you to do, beloved, is to remember what the song says after that. Though foes are mighty and rush upon me, my feet are firm, held by his grace. My feet are firm, held by his grace. Do you feel that too? I hope so. That's my hope. That's my desire tonight as we talk about the Lord's help to us. You know, we live in a culture of independence. Things like independence and self-sufficiency are signs of success. That's how you know you're making it, right? You're independent. You're self-sufficient. You're on your own. You've grown up, as they say, hashtag adulting is kind of like where you've reached, you know, in life. And, but for the Christian, success isn't defined by self-sufficiency by any means. It's actually by weakness. It's how you know. But we don't like confessing we're weak. We certainly don't like being weak. And yet Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 12 that he boasts in his weakness. Are we in a position where we can boast in our weakness? Do we know what our weaknesses are? And in knowing what our weaknesses are, do we know the help that God offers to us in our places of weakness, in our moments of weakness and times of weakness, specifically in the area of temptation? And temptation comes in many different shapes and forms. It could be temptations for something that you don't have, that you want. It could be temptation for somebody that you want to be, that you're not. It could be material. It could be financial. It could be relational. It could be intellectual. It could be, I mean, a number of things, right? I mean, there's no shortage of temptations and the different types of categories from which temptation can arise from and draw. It dangles that thing in front of us saying, if you had this, you'd be happy. The Christian who knows that they're weak is the person that during the time of temptation does not seek or attempt to stand on their own two feet and try and do it on their own. That's the person that turns to the Lord and says, I can't do this. Would you help? That, beloved, is a sign of maturity. That's where we need to be. And the Lord helps us in our times of temptation. If you find yourself saying, I need help, Lord, help us, then good, you're in the right place. I want to read Hebrews chapter 2, 16, and then I just want to draw our attention to a few things to consider that I pray are for our good and God's glory tonight. And these, I'm in Hebrews right now in my own personal devotional time, and sometimes you're just reading through and all of a sudden a verse just stops you in your tracks and you think about it. That was this verse for me, Hebrews 2, 16. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. It's just real short, just real simple, but just oh so sweet. Let me read it again. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. I mean, if you're a Christian, that's for you. He helps you. That's good news for us. I want to consider four things tonight. Number one is, who does the helping? Now, the text, right, I mean, the answer is obvious. Who does the helping? God does the helping. But I want us just to stop just for a few minutes and think about the reality and the implications and the weight and the glory of considering the fact that God is the one that helps you. What is it that God is capable of? Anything. Like everything. He is the one that can help you. If I'm in a position of, if I'm in a position of need and I need help, say I'm doing a room addition to my home and I need help doing it, I'm not calling somebody that doesn't know how to do room additions. They can't help me. They don't have the capabilities. You know who I'm calling? This brother right here, because he knows how to do room additions. If I need heart surgery, I'm not calling him. I'm calling Joel. You know? God is the one that helps us. And he is the one that has the capacity and the ability to help us in anything and everything that we can face. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, reiterates this for us. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Who? Who made heaven and earth. Why is it so important to include that last little phrase into that verse? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He made all that it is that I see. He made me. The manufacturer knows how to fix his product, if you will. He knows everything about it. And if something goes wrong with it, he can help. I think of the way that God is described by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40. If you're ever looking for some chapters in the Bible that just really elevate your eyes to like the sovereignty and the power and what old, you know, they used to call the ineffability of God, Isaiah 40 through 50. Read those 10 chapters, and it just talks over and over again about God's power. But this is what is said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span? Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? I mean, the picture is given to us is like, who has the capacity to grab Mount Everest by the tip or scoop his hand underneath it and just pull it up by its roots from where it is and put it on his scales? God has the ability to do that. He would go on, Isaiah 40, verse 25 and 26. To whom then will you compare me? That I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. All of the starry host. I mean, who can help? Who is the one that helps you? The one who does all of these things. The maker of heaven and earth, who's not short at all in the capacity and the ability to do so. But not only that, secondly, who does God help? The offspring of Abraham is what our text says. Paul would say in Romans 4:11 that Abraham is the father of all of those who believe. If you're a Christian, Abraham is your father. Hebrews 2:16, for surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Like, these things are written in the Bible so that we would know they're true, that they're for us. So that when you're in a time where you're in need of help, you would know, who does the Lord help? You, if you're a Christian. Which means that, like, God is aware of what it is that's going on in your life. He knows the situation exactly as it is. You ever face moments of temptation and trial where you think to yourself, does God really know, like, what's going on here? Like, the answer is always, absolutely, he knows. You know what? He knows more than you do about the situation, too. He knows what the outcome's going to be. He knows why it's happening. He knows when relief is coming. He's in control of all of that. And Psalm 46:1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of need or trouble. I know we don't always feel like he's present, but he is, because the scripture says so. I want to read a couple lines. This is the song that we're going to close out with tonight, but I want to read a few lines from the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Verse 2 and 3 says this, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Those are sweet words. And if you're a believer, that's for you. Not just to know, not just for, like, verses in a song to remember and to be able to sing. Words that are really intended to comfort your heart, to come alongside you in the midst of anybody heavy laden, to actually know that he's present and there and helping you in your times of temptation, in your times of weakness. And then lastly, we see actually two forms of help that he gives to us. Who does the helping? God. Who does God help? Us. Well, how does he help? What does he do? Two ways in particular. One, in atonement, verses 14 and 15 talk about that. Talks about through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He helps us in our atonement. He delivers us from the the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and he delivers us from being subjected to lifelong slavery, as well as what he says in verse 17, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Why was he made like us? Why were we made in his image as well? That he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Atonement, that's how he helps us. Number one, flat out, the greatest need that you and I have is forgiveness, salvation. It's propitiation. It's for someone to destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver us from lifelong slavery. And Jesus does that. Like, he helps us in that way first and foremost in our atonement. And you should never take that for granted or overlook that. Every single day, I think one of the greatest practices every Christian needs to do is to preach the gospel to themselves and remind themselves that they are loved by God, and it is proven to them by him sending forth his son to die on the cross for their sins. And he bears that completely, and you have fellowship with him. Life is how he helps. It's what he gives. Atonement. But secondly, his attention. Verse 18. For because he himself was suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The children of Abraham are the same people that he refers to in verse 18 as those who are tempted. As children of Abraham, we are tempted. And he is able to help us in our times of temptation. He's able to come alongside. He's able to deliver us. In your strength and in your self-sufficiency, you cannot succeed. In your independence, you will fail. It's good if you learn to walk with a limp. Don't hide it. You're weak. Good. Now you know that you need to turn to him. And when you turn to him, what will you find? A friend that helps you in your time of need. And he does that most often, beloved, through the word. I want to read Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. As God draws our attention to the way that God uses the word of God, the wisdom of God, to help us, specifically in times of temptation. Proverbs 5:1. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. Why? That you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Right? That's temptation personified as the woman whose lips drip honey, right? I mean, honey is sweet. Honey draws. It attracts. This is what temptation does. And her speech is smoother than oil. Oh, she knows how to talk to you. She knows how to draw you in. She's good at it. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander. She does not know it. But how does he start the proverb off? What do you do in order to avoid the woman who has speech that's smooth like oil and whose lips drip honey? Be attentive to my wisdom and incline your ear to my understanding. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. but as he speaks to us as well through the scripture by his spirit. You have Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? I've hidden your word in my heart, right? So that when I see that woman come in and her, she starts speaking, I'm like, no, 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 no. And I'm like Joseph, right? I'm out. I go the other way. I run off. That's what we need to do during temptation. And we will find that he is there to help us via the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, of the Word, the Logos, dwells within you so that he can help you during times of temptation. The question is, beloved, is do you have the Word of God stored up? Is it precious to you? Because this is how he helps. If you find yourself struggling with giving in to temptation, not facing it, giving in to it, it may very well be that the Word of God plays a very small role in your life. Or you're in it, but you're not storing it up and hiding it in the heart. You're just cruising across the top. The Lord is gracious and kind to us. He helps us, but he gives us the word to meditate on so that we might be successful in our times of temptation. Who helps us, God? Who does he help us? And how does he help us in our atonement and the attention that he gives to us? In whatever way you are being tempted, beloved, and need help, know that he provides. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, what a wonderful truth it is that you've given to us to know that you help us in our times of need. We come to you. We have a merciful and faithful high priest. We know that Hebrews goes on to say that we have access to the throne of grace to find help in our times of need. I pray, Lord, that we would stop practicing independence and self-sufficiency. Glory in our weakness. Turn to you, confess our need for you, and find that you are faithful. You are that friend that's closer than a brother. You provide help in all of our times of need. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you for your word. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please stand, we will sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.